It's good to be here once again as we're here to study those things of divine nature and grow towards perfection and as we live for Jesus. I want to continue my thought on the subject, what is not expected of man? What is not expected of man is what we want to look at. And of course we studied Micah 6 and 8, so we'll look at that in the Old Testament, Micah 6 and verse 8. And we'll move pretty quick this morning because I'm going to try to finish this lesson. Micah 6 and verse 8, where the prophet, he says this about God. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, that is, do what's right and fair. To love mercy, which is compassion or forgiveness. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm them. But we have that compassion and love and all of that that God wants us to have. And to walk humbly with your God. The humble attitude, you just love people who have a humble attitude. So, these are things that God wants us to do, and we can't do any of this without His Word and Him teaching us. God does not expect man to know as much as He. We talked about that last week, and that's why He has given us His Word. God does not expect sinless perfection from man. He don't expect that. We shouldn't expect that out of each other. And then we want to look at, God does not expect man to direct his own steps. And these scriptures we read many, many times before, where the prophet said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's why we need God. That's why we need the Word of God. We don't know how, which way to go spiritually unless God gives us the Word. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus told his disciple, Thomas, I believe, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's look at that and make sure. That's found in John 14 and verse 6. Let's look at that. John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus was talking to Thomas. Because there in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's what he tells him there. God does not expect man to direct his own steps. If you look at James chapter 4, and most of the time we'll get this right. We'll plan and say we're going to do such and such a thing. And then we'll say if the Lord's will, we'll do that. But if you look at James, let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. When I'm talking to Christians, many times they'll use this, especially us preachers. We're going to do some meetings or whatever, we'll tell people if the Lord's will, we'll do that. James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. See what word there? God does not expect man to direct his own steps. So whatever our plans are, if it's the Lord's will, we'll retire. If it's the Lord's will, we'll do a vacation next year or whatever the case may be. And we always need to include God in that because things can change on us. It can change for anybody. Okay? Salvation from man's works is another good verses. God does not expect salvation from man's work. Titus 3 and verse 5. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And we need God. Believe me, people, we need Him. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing really we can do in a spiritual matter without God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So from reading this here, there is nothing man can do by himself to gain the forgiveness of sins. Nothing that he can do by himself. What man could not do, God did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we were baptized and went down into the watery grave of baptism and had our sins washed away. Salvation from man's works. God does not expect salvation from man's works. Now, if you look at Isaiah 64 and 6. Isaiah 64 and 6. We're just going to read these scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Give you time to find that if those are looking for it there. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. And we need to emphasize the fact that we can't save ourselves. Only God can. We cannot really save ourselves. Only God can. But we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. We can't. We can see how much we need God. I can see how much we need it. You can see it. Man cannot be saved by the old law of Moses. That won't save us. Christ came and fulfilled the law. And He made a better law for us. And so we can only be saved by the New Testament law. We cannot be saved by the old law. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's look at that one there. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. I think it says something like that. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we want to look at Ephesians now. Ephesians. That's one that
we have memorized as well. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. See what he says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, through this system of faith, the New Testament, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's unmerited favor have saved us. Look at the next verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're not saved by the works of the old law, by the works of the law of Moses. Nothing man has done or can do deserve forgiveness. Thank God that he, by his grace, we are forgiven, because we haven't done anything or can do anything to deserve forgiveness. That just is. So God, he's for us. He's on our side. Acts 10, 34, a good verse that we have remembered. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 10 and 34. God, he just no respect of person. Anybody who obey, who accept God's word and obey his word, we know can be saved. He's just no respecter of person. And so we find here in Acts 10, 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him, accepted by him. You fear him by obeying him and do what's right, God is going to accept us. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. All right, let's go to the next one. Here's another good one as well. God does not expect man to be free of burdens. Try to straighten that up a little bit. Free of burdens. We all gonna have burdens. I mean, that's the way it is. And I'm a firm believer that it doesn't matter whether a man is single. I tell people wherever I go, it don't matter whether we're single or married, man, to be free of burdens. We gonna have burdens that we got to bear. That's just the way that goes. We know, I didn't give y'all the scripture there. I'll get it right. Matthew chapter 16 and 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. I believe it's going to say something like, if any man comes after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's go over there, because sometimes I get them scriptures all crossed up. I can remember what it says, but sometimes I may give you the wrong scripture. And so Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And you know the word cross is a symbol for duty, responsibility, and God has given us all responsibilities, and that cross that we have to bear. There's some things that people can't do for me. There's some things I cannot do for them. But we must take up our cross, that responsibility, every day, and those duties that God wants us to take care of. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Let's look at that one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Where Peter, the Apostle Peter, says to us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Now there's things that God will help us with, and we can always trust Him. But there are some things that we'll have to do, and that cross we got to bear. Here's what he says right here. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. See what he says there? That's some of the things we've been talking about in Bible class. We have to cast all our cares upon the Lord. He cares for us. I looked up this word casting. It says to throw upon. To throw upon. And as we're looking at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, a good comment that I have here, Christians should cast the whole burden on the whole burden of our anxieties upon Him, believing that He lovingly cares and will not forsake us in our time of need. He's not going to forsake us. But if we, and like I said, this word casting, it means to throw upon. It comes from a word to throw upon. And that's what we need to do, casting all our cares upon the Lord, for He's going to take care of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God does not expect man to be free of burdens. Free of burdens. And like I said, and I tell people, it doesn't matter. We all have burdens that we have to bear. And there's other scriptures talk about, I didn't put it, don't have it here. I believe Galatians 6, where it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means that if you see a brother or sister about to stumble and fall, help them. We can do that. But there's some burdens that nobody can help me with. Nobody can help me with, you know, with some burdens. That's something that I have to do myself. You can't repent for me. I can't repent for you. And so those are things that we have to do ourselves. Let's move on. God does not expect too much of any man. God does not expect too much of any man. He don't. Luke 17:10, we know that whatever we do, we're just unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Let's look at Luke 17:10. We're moving pretty good this morning. Luke 17:10. And so, we're not doing God a favor when we work, do our work for Him. Not really doing Him a favor. We're just unprofitable servants. Luke 17:10. Let's look at verse 9. Does he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded by him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. See that? So we, working for the Lord, we're not doing Him no favor, nothing like that. That's something that we're supposed to do. God does not expect too much of any man. God does not expect too much of anyone. Matthew 25 and verse 15, I think it's going to be dealing with talents. And you've read it many, many times before. where God gave one man 5 talents. He gave another man 2 talents, I believe. And then he gave another man 1 talent. Matthew 25:15. And the man with the 5 talents, he doubled his Lord's money and did well with it. There was a man who had 2 talents, and he doubled his Lord's money. And then the man that had the 1 talent, he took it and hid it in the earth. Let's look at this verse here, Matthew 25:15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. And of course, this can apply to females as like it can to males. We all have a talent, and God wanted us to use that talent. And sometimes, and that man that had the 1 talent, he hid it in the earth, in the ground. Jesus said, well, you could have put that money in the bank, it would have drew some interest, but he hid it. And Jesus said, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Of people who don't use their talent, they're going to be in trouble with God in the judgment day. So that's something to think about. If I don't use my talent, I'm not getting away with nothing. It's going to come back, it's going to pop back up at the judgment day. God does not expect too much of any man. If you look at 1 Kings 12:28, 1 Kings chapter 12, let's look at this here. Dealing with Rehoboam. And he was saying to the people, it's just too far and too much to go to Jerusalem to worship. If you look at 1 Kings 12:28, 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, give you time to find that. And people make those excuses today. It's just too much. God asking me too much to do. And God don't ask too much for us to do. 1 Kings 12:28. Therefore the king asked advice, made 2 casks of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. That wasn't nothing but not telling the truth. They're going to bring you up out of Egypt. It was God who brought them up out of Egypt. But the thought is, Jeroboam had told his people it was too much for them to go to Jerusalem to worship. Too much. Today, people say it's too inconvenient to go to church. You got to get ready. You got to drive and all of that, and it's not. And you think about people about these ball games, they'll drive 1,000 miles to go to a game and pay $2,000 for a ticket. And enjoy that. So with something that you enjoy, it's not a burden to us. We're going to love it. 1 John 5:3. And I have a comment here I'm going to make concerning this here. 1 John 5:3. And I had to do a little digging on this one here. First John chapter 5:3. Where the Apostle John says here about a burden here, that his God's word is not a burden to us. It shouldn't be. Alright? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome. And I'm going to, I got a comment here. I want to, I got two Bibles up here because I got notes in one and read in the other. But here's a good thought here about this here. Excuse me. Jesus did not give grievous burdensome commands which are impossible to keep. He said his commandments are not a burden. It's not burdensome. God never lays a commandment on a person without giving him the strength to do it. That's a good point. He don't give us commandments without giving us the strength to do it. Jesus did not mean that his commands were easy to achieve. They're not easy to achieve. It is not easy to love people who are unlovable. You've been across, been around people like that on the secular job. And it's not easy to love people who are unlovable. Okay? It is not easy to love people who are unlovable, but with God's help, we can. We can. His commands are not burdensome, that is, not impossible to keep. They are not impossible to keep. It's not impossible to put God first in our lives. It's not. And really, when we do that, things are better for us when we put God first in our lives. But we must first give ourselves to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And that's what those Corinthians did. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And so his commandments are not burdensome. They're not. And if when you get into this, loving God and putting him first, you're a whole lot happier when you do what he commands you to do. God does expect faithfulness. To go to heaven, we have to be faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10. This is a funny day today for me. But people, come on. But Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." We got to be faithful unto death. Got to. See that or not, but I was holding there. And then 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so always remember that God does not expect man to direct his own steps, salvation from man's works, man to be free of burdens, too much of any man. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you can't go to heaven if you're not a Christian. Give me a call, 270-282-3706. You can't go to heaven if you're not a Christian. And to be a Christian, you must obey the gospel. You must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Has to hear, believe, got to repent of sins, Luke 13:3. Confess Christ before men, Matthew 10:32. And be buried with him in baptism, Acts 2:38. Ain't that simple? And come up out of the water and work on your life and your child, your baby in Christ. You grow towards perfection, and we just keep striving until we make it to heaven. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.